Welcome to the Golf Better Podcast. I'm your host, Derek Dominski. The Golf Better Podcast is brought to you by GolfBetterTucson.com. Be sure to check out our website if you need help with your game, as well as follow along with us on Instagram and social media. Today we have part two with Boyd Summerhaze. This episode is a must listen for parents and junior golfers. Boyd shares with us how he blends being a parent, coach, and friend with his kids, some of what you don't see on Instagram, his 10-minute rule, and other advice for parents and junior golfers. Enjoy. All right, so now we're going to get into, you know, you're a parent of very successful kids. You deal with parents. You deal with kids. You know, I deal with parents. I deal with kids. So we're going to ask you some of these questions here. You know, your kids are super successful. Preston, essentially, you know, I'm sure after winning the Junior Am and with what he's done, you know, he could pretty much go to any school he wanted to. I know he signed with ASU, which is incredible. You know, obviously, Grace is on a fantastic path, and it looks like Cam's getting into the game more and more as well. So your kids are so successful in golf. How do you blend being their parent, being their friend, and being their coach?
Okay, so dad, friend, and coach. You know, I think, you know, I'm 40 now. Preston's 17, Grace is 15, Cam's 12. You know, I think, you know, I had my dad was my coach growing up. You know, I was the number one kid in the country at 16. And then Charles, I was number one when he was 17. I was number two. And my dad did a great job of coaching me growing up. You know, he worked hard. He loved the game. He committed a ton of time to me and my other siblings that loved the game. And he did a great job. But he had never, you know, when I got a little older, we started to clash just a little bit, you know. And I think it's just natural. It's so hard to be a parent and a coach at the same time. And, you know, I think it was really cool for me as I started to teach my own kids. I looked back and I thought, man, my dad did a great job. He was a lot more patient than I thought he was, you know, because, yeah, you're clashing heads and you're thinking, man, my dad's so tough on me and he's so impatient. And I look back and I'm like, man, my dad was a saint. He did a great job. And I think I took some of the good things that my dad did with me, and then I took some of the things that maybe I wish were slightly different and just tried to kind of instill that with the way I teach my kids. And then, you know, I always look at it this way, is like, when I got done playing, the main goal, and I always told myself this, is like, I wanted to be a coach that had time for, or gave a lot of time to his own kids. Cause you look around and a lot of times in golf, like a golf instructor is so busy and their life and their career is always helping other people that sometimes their own kids maybe don't get as much time as, you know, they may want. And I always felt like, okay, my goals as a teacher, I always had, you know, even when Tony was coming up the ranks and I knew he could be a top 10 player, a number one player in the world potentially someday, it was like, okay, my kids are always right there, right there. Preston, Grace, and Cam. Preston, Grace, and Cam. My kids always knew that if they wanted time, that I would stop at whatever time of day they got done with school. And so that was always the deal with them, is that I would just be there at the course if they wanted me to be there and help them out. And I kind of knew too, like, for me to have my kids listen to me, that I needed to give them enough positive reinforcement to where then when I gave them the brutal truth and the honest assessment, that they would be more open to it. And so I think that that's always been my thing with them, is that I always wanted them to feel like they knew that I believed in their game, that I'd said enough good things about their game, and my belief in them and their ability was so sure that to be great at something, you got to be able to take criticism and honest feedback, right? Mm-hmm. And luckily, I feel like I've given them a lot of feedback that's been positive from a really young age. That, to Preston's credit, man, he just listened, assessed it, and was like, just, you know, it was really cool. But that's just years of us being together as coach and dad, and I think as, if you're asking how do you mix it, it's easier said than done. I think that I empathize with a lot of parents. I get asked that a lot, and I never want people to think they look on Instagram and they see the highlights and think, oh man, Boyd's got it all figured out. Their kid, they get along so good, and it seems like he's so patient all the time. That's just not the truth. Like, it's not easy to be as patient with your own kids as, say, a paying client, right? I pride myself in when I'm with a student, and I think my students would say that, I understand how hard the game was. I failed as a player. If golf was so easy, I'd still be playing it. I would have never been a coach, right? So I have an empathy for what they're trying to do. And so as a coach, I make it a point that I don't show frustration. I don't, get upset with my students. I know they're trying the best they can, but with your kids, I wish I could say that that was the truth, that that never happened. But I think we love our kids so much that we have emotion, so much more emotion attached to it. And I'd say that's the thing, is the times where maybe the emotion got involved too much in the assessments of what should happen, that's the times where it hasn't been great. And those are the times where I've had to catch myself and say, wait a minute, would you really talk to your student like that? Is that how you would present it to them? I'm always brutally honest with my current students that pay me, but I do it in a way that doesn't feel like I'm attacking them. It just is the brutal truth, or I'm being honest, right? And so I think with my kids, I've just taken those times where maybe I've let emotion get into, the teaching, and just say, whoa, okay, I'm sorry. I recognize that was wrong, and just try to keep on just seeing them as you take that dad cap, coach cap, and just keep the emotion out. And then I think too, my kids do need to have time where it's not always talking about golf too, because then I got to be able to be a dad, got to be able to be a friend. And I think one of the questions I always ask myself is, does Preston, Grace, and Cam, do they want me to caddy, or do they want me to watch them play? Do they want me to travel to their tournaments? And luckily so far they do. They want me to be there. I can't be at everything, but they want me to be there. And so that's kind of my barometer. I ask myself, hey, do they want me around? Do they feel like this is just a job, or is it still just a game? Because as a junior golfer, I gotta make sure that should be the most fun time of their life growing up. If Preston decides he wants to be a pro someday, if Grace wants to be a pro, and Cam wants to be a pro, trust me, it will become a job. Every professional knows the travel, the ups and downs, the disappointments, that it becomes a job. But I got to make sure that I don't make it become a job now. It should be their fun time, and where they can still be a kid and they're learning about themselves and whatnot. And I haven't had a perfect record with my kids. I definitely have some moments I wish I could have had back, for sure. And someday I think it'll be cool. Me and Preston and Grace kind of share some of those moments where we failed, and where I made a mistake as a coach slash dad, and then we just rectify them. We just sit down, we're honest with each other, say, man, I really screwed up right there. I really apologize, and you move on. So I think, for other parents that aren't their coaches, my suggestion is find the best coach possible and truly let that coach coach. Right. And I'm, for me, I am their coach and I'm their dad, but I also understand that at any time, if they don't enjoy, like my current clients, I feel like they enjoy being around me. I enjoy being around them, and that's what makes it work. Like, you have this relationship. And so I always think, like, man, am I being fun to be around for my kids too, like I am my other clients? And so, because I'd like to work for my kids the rest of their lives too. I hope I can be helpful to them and they want me around. But I think with other parents that maybe they don't do it professionally, just let the coaches coach. Because I see that as a problem a little bit, where parents invest the money to get a coach, but they're still coaching on the side too. They're still over critiquing. If you have a qualified coach, let the coach coach. And then as a parent, just give support. Give them the resources. Let them know you love them, unconditionally. You can ride the ups and downs, and they can come back and not have to talk about their round. And I will say that I'll share an experience that, I'm not embarrassed about it, because I have tried the best I can with my kids to help them, right? But when Preston was 12, so he didn't play a tournament until he was 10. I kind of held, he played golf before then. He loved it. But I tried to push him in all these other sports because I knew he'd always have a chance to come to golf if he wanted to, but I wanted to make sure he loved it. So, you know, the last year that I played professionally was up in Canada, PGA Tour Canada, and we were up there 8 weeks in the summer. Took my family up there. Grace turns, has her birthday in the summer, and my wife, Barbara Jean, she makes Preston stay and celebrate Grace's birthday. Other than that, Preston was with me every single moment of every single day of those 8 weeks. If I had a 7 o'clock tee time, had to leave at 5 o'clock to get to the course, he was there. He stayed till dark practicing. He was obsessed with the game. He loved it. And he said, "Dad, when do I get to play my tournaments?" And so I'm like, "Man, this kid loves it. I got to start letting him do it more. I'm not going to push him every other direction. I'll let him do this." So in a couple of years, he's playing all the time. He's obsessed with it. He loves it. And he's gotten good enough to where, with so little tournament experience, he's in the final round at Junior Worlds, and he's having an incredible round. He gets tied for the lead at Junior World with 3 holes to go. And he ends up making a couple of bogeys. And I mean, he's 12. He just barely turned 12. And he makes a mistake. I mean, at the time, in my opinion, a course management error on the last hole with a punch out. And you know, it's like a painful moment for me to look back and think on. And so he ends up, you know, having a great finish, top 10 finish, almost wins. And instead of me being like, "Holy cow, Preston," like just throwing a party and just being like, "That's an incredible finish," I critiqued what I thought he could have done better on the last few holes. And it went on and on and on. And then we were staying about an hour away. And the whole drive home, I'm talking about what could have been better and what he could have done better. And I get home and I'm like, "Oh my gosh." Like, it was like the sickest feeling. I'm like, my kid, the sweetest kid in the world, anyone that meets Preston, he's like the nicest kid. And he's so raw. And he almost wins Junior World just off of like 2 years of grinding. And here I am just hammering out, "You could have done this better. You could have done this better in this situation." And that really helped me because I was like, "Man, I don't want to feel that again." And I sure know that he won't want me to coach him if every round he feels like, "Oh crap, here's this drive home with dad where I'm going to have to hear about the whole round." So now we kind of have a deal where we call it the 10-minute rule. We got 10 minutes to hash out just a couple of points. In 10 minutes, you can't cover too much. So it better be like one obvious point, and usually there's something just as much time spent on, "Hey man, really like what you're doing with that shot or that tee ball you're hitting." And then it just doesn't become overwhelming and become the focal point of your relationship. It just golf's a party relationship and not the whole thing. Because as a kid, you never want your kid feeling like, man, you're happy when they play good, and when they don't, you kind of are disappointed, because they can feel that. Kids are smart, you know, they feel it. You know, it's hard to hide our emotions. So that's what I'd say is, like, you know, just remember, they don't want to hear the constant critiquing of what they could have done better. They're not supposed to be tour pros at 12. Like, I was talking to him like he was Tiger Woods, and how could he make that mistake? And he's 12 years old, just gaining experience. And I think sometimes we just got to sit back and, like, just let them learn and make mistakes. That's how we learn and grow. And it's a normal part of growth, actually. And so, you know, I made my mistakes, and we look back now, and you could literally ask Preston, "Hey, your dad on the podcast shared that experience about Junior World, and we're an open family." It's like, "Yeah, man, that was rough." And yeah, he learned from it, and, you know, said he was sorry and moved on. So as parents, it's just not easy. You know, we make mistakes, just say sorry. That's the only deal I have with my kids. I'm probably going to make another mistake, but I'm going to say sorry for it and then move on. So that's kind of how I look at trying to be a dad and a coach and a friend. It's not easy, but throw some sorries in there when you mess up, and then just realize, let your kids be kids. This is supposed to be the most fun time in their golf careers, junior golf, relationships, their friendships, and learning and growing and making mistakes. That's what a junior golf career is just learning and growing.
Yeah, and I think that's refreshing, because, you know, in your social media, you know, you're not extremely biased. I think you actually do a really nice job of not, you know, really promoting your kids a ton, in a sense that, hey, you know, look at what we're doing. You're very honest in that.
Yeah.
And usually in social media, you know, most people don't highlight those moments where, hey, you know, you get on your Insta story and be like, "Hey guys, just, you know, me and Preston kind of got into a little bit of an argument here, and, you know, just wanted to share that with everyone." It's kind of refreshing, and I'm sure a lot of parents can take note that you are going to make mistakes, and Even a summer haze, it can happen. It happens to everyone. So
Yeah.
it's not like if you make a mistake or two, your kid's out of it. You're a terrible parent. They'll never be good at golf. It just seems like that's more the norm, and almost accept it, get used to it, and just move past it.
Yep, no doubt. Just learn how to say sorry. I mean, no one you think about it, it's like, no kid, and I think kids too. I mean, there's times where they make some mistakes too, but I don't really view it as kids make the mistakes in most situations. We're the ones that mess it up. The parents, we do. We're the ones that unknowingly or knowingly put too much pressure on them. And I think that is the one thing with my kids. They have a mantra that is important to us and one of our keys. I have these keys that, in our camps and training, we have 10 things. Number one is no excuses. Number two is no negative body language and no negative self-talk. And the list goes down, but one of the key points that I try to hammer into my kids and students is just go play. If someone is competitive, okay, I'm a competitive person. My wife is too. She doesn't seem like it, but she is. That kind of was put into to our kids. They're competitive people. So if number one, you're competitive, and then you have any kind of work ethic, that means you've invested a lot of your life and your time into your work, into your golf. Those two factors alone, being competitive and having invested your own time, I've never seen someone under try. They always struggle over trying, putting too much pressure on it, their performance. So we always just say, just go play, just go play, just go play. And I think that's something that, my kids, you'll hear them say a lot, just go play. And, the pressure of just being competitive and wanting to succeed and having a work ethic, those two things alone, man, that puts enough pressure, healthy pressure on the performance. And all the other excess stuff, it doesn't really help. It starts to hinder. So I try and I take pride in that when my kids play, I hope they always play what I call play free. It looks like they're not afraid to make mistakes. They're not looking over at me and like, oh man, I wonder what my dad thought about me going for that 3 wood over water. I look at it like, well, yeah, if Preston wants to be one of the best players in the world someday, and which he said he does, he wants to be the number one player in the world. Trust me, Rory McIlroy's going for that pin with the water on the right. I can't be mad at Preston for hitting it on the water, in the water to the right, when that's what makes him great, right? And so, if your kid's looking over your shoulder every time they make a mistake, you probably got to look at yourself and think, okay, maybe I got to reassess the way I do things, because you don't want your kids being nervous performers, anxious performers, careful performers. You want them being free performers. So,
So, is there any other quick advice that you would recommend for parents of, serious and competitive junior golfers?
I already mentioned try to get them with the best coaching. I think you get them with the best players as well. Encourage your kids. I think it feels good to be the best player, right? My kids' goals, Preston and Grace have both said they want to be the best player in the world someday. Well, they want to be the best player someday. I don't want Preston to be the best player with who he's practicing with right now. I don't want Grace isn't the best player who she practices with right now, right? Grace is, when Preston was 10 and 11, I would purposely put him against a 14-year-old, a 16-year-old, an 18-year-old that was the best in the state or the region. And Preston was only going to get better from that situation. He was number one, going to see two things were going to happen. He was going to realize, holy cow, I'm actually pretty good. I'm hanging with these guys. Or number two, man, I got a little bit of work to do, right? And so I think that's great. I think that's been a huge thing for my kids is always try to play against the best players you can. Train with and compete against the best players. Don't shy away. Don't want to be the best player in the practice every time. Or you get what I'm saying. That feels good temporarily, but you can only win from being around better players all the time. So Preston will train a lot with. He's played hundreds of times with Tony. He's played several times with Wyndham Clark. He's played with 20 tour pros. He's played with Brooks Koepka. He's played with any tour players I've ever taught. He's played with and competed against, and it's been positive. And it's helped build him up. And so same thing with Grace. She's always trained with Preston and these other players and guys that are better than her hit it further than her. And so it's always pushed her to be better. So, number one, I already said, hey, get a good coach and kind of let the coach coach. That's one serious piece of advice I have. Let the coaches coach and you be a support. And then number two, encourage your kids to definitely be around, the best players and the best training facilities they can be at, because we end up being a product of our environment. I truly believe that. It's like, if I give my kids proper technique and training, okay, that's part of it. But I also got to put them in an environment where they're training against great players and they're training against court, conditions that they're gonna see someday on tour or at high level tournaments. So take really seriously who they train with and where they train and who trains them. Ask yourself those three questions. Who's training my kid? Who are they training with? And where are they training? Right? And what facilities kind of. And then I would say too, I think parents, and I think that may be the system's problem a little bit too, but there's all these rankings all the time. There's stars you need to get, or junior golf scoreboard, and then there's Golf Week. I literally, coming being a professional golfer, and I was a four-time junior All-American with my kids, I had no clue of what all this meant. Someone would say, hey, why is Preston and Grace playing that tournament? That's not a strong field. They're going to lose stars. They're going to lose, their ranking's going to go down. And I'm thinking, my kid's 12 years old, 14 years old. He's going to play in everything and anything because he needs the experience. He needs the reps. He needs to grow. And so I think as a parent, please don't get into these rankings. Look at skill sets. Choose tournaments. Preston played in the Junior Worlds 2 years ago, and it was supposedly wasn't as great a field as it used to, or it wasn't ranked as high of a tournament as it used to be. Well, it was being played at Torrey Pines South, and I'm like, Preston, that's a great opportunity for you, because either you want to try to seek the best competition or championship golf courses, because either one will tell you how good you are. And so we went to Junior World, even though some people were saying, oh, the stars aren't good on that, or the rankings aren't good on it. He went and played Torrey Pines South for 4 days, shot under par, took third, and I could see his confidence grow. He's hitting shots on the course where tour players played and where they've had a US Open. And so parents, don't worry so much about rankings. Trust me, a good college coach will watch your son play or daughter play and look at his skill sets and say, whoa, man, his ranking may not look high, but man, this is a skilled junior golfer. And trust me, if they have any knowledge about the game, they're going to look at his skill sets or her skill sets more than this ranking. So I think parents and kids can obsess about that kind of stuff. My kids don't know what any of that stuff means, and because I don't think it's a great benchmark to be worrying about, but those are a couple things I'd say. And then I already harped on a little bit that let your kids be junior golfers. Let your kids be kids. It's not always serious all the time. No one can sustain that kind of training where it's just always serious, because you go to a PGA Tour event, they know when to be serious and they know when to have fun. And so let this junior golf stage be the most fun time of their career.
Awesome, Boyd. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. If anyone wants to reach out to you, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
They can go through my website, summerhazegolf.com, but I'm out on the road traveling a little bit and busy and just with my kids and not really looking for any more business. But I enjoy what you do. I want to be on your podcast because, I've enjoyed following you over the years, and I know that you want to talk a little bit about junior golf and my kids, and that's something I enjoy talking about. It's
Yeah.
something near and dear to my heart. So, I appreciate you having me on. It's been fun chatting and being able to talk about a game we both love. So,
Yeah, absolutely, bud. Well, thank you so much. Have a great night, my friend.
hey, I appreciate it. Great time talking.
I just want to thank Boyd again for his time. Being the coach of your kids is a difficult task, but being open, honest, and not being afraid to say sorry can go a long way. Please feel free to share this episode with any parents who coach their kids in golf or in other sports. I just want to thank everyone so much again for their support of the podcast. This started out as just a trial, but the encouragement and support we've received is overwhelming as we continue to book the best minds, players, and coaches in the game of golf. If you're enjoying this podcast, please leave a review on your podcast platform of choice, as that would mean so much. Until next time.